Defendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 349. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight, we have Harrison Milfeld.
What's up, everybody?
And Colin Crompton.
Hello. Yes, a full team.
Hey.
Full! Unite.
Yes, there's all three of us, and we've got two sections we're going to... We have two features we're going to go through tonight. We're going to start off with the Nintendo news, then finish off with some community comments. However, we also have a special announcement that we're going to make at the end of the show, so please do hang on to the end to find out what that is.
Yeah, once if you're getting bored by the community comments or how their brevity is not as, well, they lack brevity, that's not an offense, please, just stick around. Please, just do. It's quite important.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Okay, we'll jump straight into the Nintendo news. And the first bullet point I have is Guitar Hero Live. And it is actually coming to the Wii U.
You see, I did not realize that was coming to that. I knew that there was a new Guitar Hero, but I assumed that was... Well, wait, I'm getting confused right now. Was there Guitar Hero and Rock Band coming back, or was it just
yes.
Guitar Hero? Wait, well, no,
it
both.
It was just like 2 weeks ago, I think, Rock Band announced it was coming back. There is no Wii U version of that game. But very recently, within the last week, Guitar Hero Live got announced, and that is having a Wii U version. and so it's relevant to us.
it is relevant to us, and that brings me up to an idea, thinking, you know, with Wii U right now, we have NFC... Okay. How last generation... Oh, I'm sorry. You remember how last generation everybody was obsessed with, guitar instrument peripherals?
Yeah.
And now this generation everybody's obsessed with, like, you know, NFC figurines.
That's fair, yeah.
Next generation is going to be NFC instruments.
Just combine
the two. What is the advantage of an NFC instrument?
Because you can play the world's tiniest violin.
Violin hero.
Oh, I'm a
tiny violin hero.
I'm a terrible jokester. Please just punch me in the groin for saying that.
Yeah, it's an interesting tidbit, though, that the Wii U's the only current-gen console which can actually play Guitar Hero currently.
That's right.
Because it can play the Wii version with the Wii instruments. They all work.
Oh, yeah, that is right. I gotta ask, did any of you guys ever play them at all, guitar? I mean, I did. I'm trying not to say be old. I remember that craze that happened with it, and I just...
Oh, yeah.
I never got into it. Rock Band, I thought, was a... It exploded that whole genre a little bit more just to kind of feel a little bit more open. But out of that, it just got old on me.
Yeah, well, I actually didn't kind of get into the wave till very late. My first Guitar Hero game was Guitar Hero World Tour, which is
number four. Okay.
Yeah, which was,
oh, that
the
was
which
four.
Had
you're
the,
right. Yeah.
Had the drums and such and so on.
Oh, that was the one after when Rock Band came out, they decided
that's
to cap,
right,
like,
yeah, that was the copycat game.
Yeah, this is a moment of shame. I played 1 through 6.
Wow.
Rather, yeah, I know. It's awful.
And I say, and Colin, you're quite a fan of like heavy metal, aren't you? Or...
Oh, yeah, of course.
but the
thing is, I play the real thing as well. And,
no discretion of that. I mean, I really wish I kind of played an instrument in real life. It just, I never found the time. And I don't know. It's just, I when I play these games, it's like that, I wouldn't say a fad. It just basically is that part of a generation where it's like, you know, how a certain genre dominates a certain generation of gaming. Like during the 16-bit days, it was like fighting games and
yeah.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. It's just a different thing that comes through.
So did either of you have the pleasure of playing Guitar Hero on tour on the DS?
Yes.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
I played it all. The guitar grip. Yeah.
Yeah, that was before the Circle Pad Pro, wasn't it, obviously? But yeah, and bigger, I imagine.
It was very awkward because I had the original DS, the fat one.
Oh,
and the guitar grip was designed for a DS Lite at the time, because that's the big system. And so, but what they came in the package, it came with like this plastic mold that you pushed into the old GBA fat port? DS's GBA slot to make it basically emulate the DS Lite slot, so the grip would go into it. And it was convoluted, but that game wasn't fun. That game gave you severe wrist ache.
I played it. I can't remember whose copy it was, and I remember it feeling very awkward, but also surprisingly authentic. Like, the buttons felt like the Guitar Hero buttons.
Oh, yeah. It was well made, but...
Yeah.
Oh, that game.
Heavy contraption, though.
The guitar pick stylus as well that came with it. That was great. That was cool. That game was... is an interesting experience. They made quite a few of them as well for the DS. I think they made two or three.
Oh, wow. That's pretty crazy.
But only the first one came with the accessory, though. So you had to own the first game. The next ones.
We'll move back onto the present Guitar Hero. So Guitar Hero Live, I believe, only supports guitars. So they're going back to the roots, as it were.
Rebooting the series.
Yeah. And also, I mean, they didn't clarify this, but I'm going to make an assumption here that it won't work with the Wii guitars.
I shouldn't think so.
Reason being, because that is the only system which has the backwards compatibility, it just wasn't brought up in the discussion in terms of would they support the old stuff. On the Rock Band reveal, they explicitly mentioned the old instruments would be used, and they didn't for Guitar Hero, so I guess that means that is a no. One of the apparent big changes in this is the background, essentially, which before would have a polygonal stage and you would see the band and I guess the audience as well. It's now a FMV shot from the band's point of view.
FMV, back to the Sega CD days.
Yeah, and it sounds like there's two versions of this FMV, one where the audience is happy, and one where the audience is sad. And it will apparently seamlessly flip between these two different videos.
So they're taking basically, essentially what that South Park episode where they made fun of Guitar Hero and just to the nth degree.
Yeah.
Basically.
It doesn't sound like the most sophisticated setup. And I don't know why everyone's harping on about it. Like, it's like, oh, this is one of the big new features of this Guitar Hero. To be completely honest, I really couldn't care what's going on and behind that, you know, that, I forgot what they call it now. You know what I'm talking about. The notes come back on the runway.
It's right in front of me, and I can't remember what it's
called.
That's
it, the runway, isn't it?
The runway, yeah. The runway strip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might as well just be a cinematic or whatever anyway. Because it's not interactive, so it doesn't really matter too much.
This has, in the previous Guitar Hero games, it was like that anyway. If you play badly, the crowd's like booing. It's just this time it's real people, going, oh, no.
At least before it was like kind of analog, in the sense that it was actually animated and so on, and I guess they could make the different characters in the audience start booing. Opposed to a video actually going from good to bad.
Bad, yeah.
And there's like no gradient in between.
I love the new instruments. It's like it's got six buttons now. There's a new innovation for you. More buttons.
That's true. How many did the most recent one have then?
The most recent Guitar Hero games had five buttons on the neck, and they had the slider which you could.
Yeah. Wait. They're adding more.
And they're adding more. Yeah.
But there is a twist. I assume you know what that is, Colin.
No. Go ahead.
Oh. Okay. Before they were just obviously in a row.
Oh yes.
Straight down. Where this time they're split up into two. And so essentially there's only going to be the three buttons as you were used to, but those three buttons are split in half each. And so you can like extend your finger across and hit what is a second button.
Yeah.
So it's a slight change, and I've heard that it makes it feel a little bit more authentic, but you are still handling with just big buttons on a guitar.
My main concern is this game is a success and they're gonna like do the whole we're gonna have Guitar Hero, you know, all over again where they're gonna bring now you can play the drums. Doesn't mean they're gonna have like extra drums. It's like they go because before it was like, you know, you had three drum pads.
Oh yeah, because that's to be symmetrical to the
and a bass. So surely this is gonna have board. You know, like just hidden behind this drum kit, you know, and it's just gonna get insane.
Well, maybe they would just do something like have pressure on the drums or something.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, well, I don't know. But yeah, I hope the plastic instrument genre doesn't go the same kind of release frequency as we saw beforehand.
God. So many rooms just littered with these instruments. Like it not just one guitar but multiples, and then you had the drum sets, and then of course you had, which of course I thought this was a great idea, Beatles Rock Band.
Yeah.
You had the various versions of
yeah, I was just going to say that I bought the very first Guitar Hero for PS2 pre-owned. I didn't realise that indeed it's a plastic guitar to play it. But you could play it with a PS2 controller.
Oh, you could. That was about
it
the last
wasn't thing. Quite the same experience, though.
I can't imagine.
Jeez. I know. Okay, this is a side thing, whatever, but I did see, like, I was watching an Honest Game trailer of Dark Souls. And apparently there was a video out there of somebody actually playing that game with the Guitar Hero controller. No,
well, I was just about to ask if you can play Guitar Hero with a dance mat.
Possibly.
Because actually, it's not that far off of a Dance Dance Revolution game in terms of the runway, as it were, and the notes coming down.
I don't want to get off track, but I want to say a story real quick. It's pretty short. An acquaintance that I know of, a best friend I went from college, he was way into DDD or DDR. Both of them were. And he showed me a video of him, his buddy, in a competition. And this is like in St. Louis, whatever. And like the only DDR portion, whatever, it's a movie theater. And it's like the finals or something like that. And he shows him a video. They get about 15 seconds into it. His buddy screws up and he realized whatever. And the thing is, this is the rule of the game. You have to fit, even if the opponent's out, you have to finish the entire round. You can't be like, oh, he's out, you win. And what he did after he was out, after 15 seconds, he went by and started screaming at him. And then he kept, it didn't faze him for about a good minute and a half. He kept doing that. And then he failed with like 5 seconds left. And then he ended up winning. And then my buddy, he won the next round. So that's where I realized when DDR went way too far for me to see.
Yeah. So, and I'm surprised we've not seen one of those games in so long.
Oh, wow.
Have we seen one since like this, the first plastic instrument craze?
I think it was after right when Guitar Hero happened. I think when you probably could see somewhere in Japan, they probably do that, but I think, well, this is Konami.
Or it might be one of those things which does get released. It's just such a known quantity that it doesn't get talked about.
Or it's just Konami right now, and they're basically not regarding any of their properties at the moment. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, just a quick thing I want to throw in here. On the subject of using weird controllers for games, my brother completed Soul Calibur with the Sega Fishing Controller.
The what?
Why?
Wait, what?
the Sega Fishing... You ever seen the Sega Fishing Controller for Dreamcast?
So what,
yeah, okay, yeah.
What controls does that emulate? Was he actually, like, reeling it?
No, yeah, I can't remember the exact details.
Can I imagine that just like simulate spinning one of the sticks or something?
It's like, no, it's, I can't remember, because it emulated differently for like different games. You can use it for any game, but it just like randomly mapped it, the buttons to it. So, you know, I think for the fishing game it was like rotate the stick. But for Soul Calibur, it was like the main attack button. Like, you know, I think it was like the horizontal attack. So you could
He was proper just reeling it a lot of the time during those fights.
Pretty sure, yeah. I mean, this is a long time ago now.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, so on the subject of Guitar Hero Live, so what's our general thoughts about this game hitting the Wii U? Is this good news, bad news?
I think it's, okay, it's the fact like, oh, wow, it's good news, the fact that there's actually third-party support for it, but secondly, it's like, do you really think that, well, the musical instrument peripheral industry is going to have a second coming? And that's what it really relies on.
Yeah.
I think it will possibly be quite successful on the other consoles due to the fact that it did break the compatibility. So if people do fancy playing one of these games, they need to go out and buy this new version. They can't just, unless they've got their old console plugged up.
Yeah.
They can't use those big instruments they've possibly got in the loft or the basement or wherever, corner of their room, I guess they can't use them anywhere with this new game. But I guess another question is, would we have preferred the new Rock Band to have come out to the Wii U instead if we had that choice?
See, I don't know, because to me the games are like, they're basically interchangeable, because it's just the same basic experience.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, I've never actually had any experience with Rock Band. I've heard good things about it. I've heard some heated debate between one and the other. But I'm kind of getting the, not by much, but the general consensus that the new Rock Band's looking a little bit better than this Guitar Hero currently. But it's obviously early days in both.
Yeah, I think I'm going to remain indifferent to this game until, I don't know.
I personally have no interest, just because the only time I would ever play is if I was just asked to play. And, let's just say I've seen a lot of plastic instruments destroyed in rage, and really ruined the phone. So,
well, it's very Rockstar, isn't it?
Oh, it's very Rockstar. Indeed, especially with alcohol involved. It's just like, I remember going to a friend's college room whenever, and he just sees like a slightly broken Guitar Hero controller, and he tells me the story of what happened, and he just destroys it, and I'm just like, wow, that was, in 5 seconds, it's just, it's in pieces you can fit in your hand.
Whoa.
So was the TV flung out the window, or?
No. But there have been walls punched through the plaster. So that was it.
Oh, okay.
But that's a whole different story.
Okay, we'll move on now to our next item of news, and this is a bit of more information. This is Street Pass Premium, which is something which was announced during the last Nintendo Direct, but they didn't really go into much detail about it. And so it's available now to buy. It's $4.99 in dollars. And what it actually covers is a VIP room, which is one of the things they did mention. It's an area where you can store 100 Miis of your choice, which you've collected. There's also a birthday tracker, which basically, from my understanding, just shows you the birthday dates of the Miis you have in your plaza. You also get a stamp in your calendar. And I'm not sure anyone will ever unlock this, but if you manage to fill every single date in the calendar with a person's birthday, you get a special prize. But that may be the most
tedious
challenge that's ever been placed in a game, because it's reliant on like real life and finding people and so on.
I need someone who's born on the 18th of July.
Yeah.
Can't find them.
Be searching for
scouring the planet.
Yeah, you might as well just set up another 3DS and manually keep resetting it. As well as a birthday tracker, this one confuses me the most. They've put in a feature where you can continue to listen to the music while your 3DS is in sleep mode if you have your headphones plugged in. This is a paid feature.
Yeah, I mean,
so if you absolutely love that Street Pass music, you can listen to it while the lid's closed if you pay for this. And in addition to that, there's some toggles in the settings which actually let you speed up the process of you collecting Miis during that initial Street Pass process. And well, so you can like skip the messages and so on, and you can toggle those things on and off. Out of everything, that seems to be the best feature there.
Yeah.
But I couldn't say that was worth $4.99 by a long stretch.
I'm baffled by
it. It does seem strange how it's these specific things are being behind this paywall. It's very unlike Nintendo, in my opinion.
Yeah, this seems like more like it should have been like a free update, and these are the new features in this free update.
Or this should have been a perk if you bought one of the new games or something, or both.
Exactly,
of the
yeah.
Or chuck it in with a game, you know, something game related. They've just given us a bunch of options and little bits, but they're paying us for it. Well, not paying us, they're charging us.
The VIP room in itself, I'm not sure makes a whole lot of sense.
No.
The birthday tracker, again, it'd just be tedious and quite dumb. Music mode and sleep mode is
laughable.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm missing something. Am I missing something here? Is there some like really jazzy tunes?
Which... There's got to be something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
It would have been nice as just like a bonus update, I feel. And maybe with this stuff, it would have made me more inclined to buy one of those new tube games. Get me back into Street Pass. It's an odd one, but it is what it is. If we don't buy it, obviously that sends a message to Nintendo saying people did not buy it. And they can figure out why.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if it is something you're interested in, let us know and let us know why. Our next item of news is Mewtwo is now released for Smash, Wii U, and 3DS. He strikes back. Yeah, he's stricken back if you bought both versions and registered them to Club Nintendo originally. So I wanted to ask, who has Mewtwo?
I have him on my Wii U right now, and I'm enjoying him.
Is it just your Wii U you've got him?
Yeah. Let's just say I've neglected the 3DS version for so long to the point where I'm like, I'm just more exclusively on this.
Ah.
But I don't know. That's just me. It's just like I may pick
up
the Wii.
Code for sale. If you own only the 3DS version, you might be able to strike a deal with Harrison here.
Possible, yeah. If you want, because I believe
send him some eShop vouchers.
Go on.
But no. I'm enjoying right now. Who else has downloaded him?
I've downloaded him on both. I've only played with him on the Wii version. He's a cool character. I'm happy he's returned. I quite like Mewtwo as a character in itself.
He's
one of the cooler Pokemon, in my opinion.
He's probably one of my favorite, up with Dragonite and... That's never going to happen as far as a character in Pokemon, or even a Pokeball, for God's sake.
Is it safe to assume that all of us have seen the first Pokemon movie?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. I feel kind of my likeness for Mewtwo, a lot comes from that film. I think a lot of his personality just comes directly from that film, opposed to the game itself.
I think that's as well for me, and plus Melee as well, just because he's such powerful. But did any of you notice, as far as like who have played Melee, the changes they made with them? And nothing is bad. I mean, I think this is more to level them, is that I think when you... when he's charging his Force Ball or whatever, his Plus whatever, that even you can be beside him... and it doesn't damage you, whereas in Melee, if you were even
charging
near that, it would damage you. That was it. And that's the only one thing I noticed as far as change on there, unless you guys saw anything else.
Sorry, I'll let you go.
I'll have to out myself here. I haven't actually got Mewtwo. Oh, no, it's terrible. Even though I did own both copies of the Smash at one point, I no longer own the 3DS version. And I forgot to register them, so... I don't mind paying for Mewtwo. If it's Well,
I'm going to be paying for Lucas when he comes out either way, so.
Yeah.
But did anybody see Sakurai's comments on day one DLC?
Being terrible?
Yes, that. And I thought it was very, you know, and I thought that was quite good because I have been a crusader against, like, you know, that and on disc DLC. And before everybody.
Yeah.
Has Nintendo done day one DLC before? I'm just trying to think. Maybe with Fire Emblem? Because they had it in advance? Because of the localization?
That's a good point.
But yeah, it's interesting about his comments, because he kind of talks about the company in general, whoever's dealing with it, it's very bad practice and it's bad business. So I was just wondering if it was a bit counterintuitive to what Nintendo might have done in the past. or possibly Mario Golf? Was that a time? Did they have DLC on day one?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. But in terms of DLC, though, it's just I agree with this point. It's like you ship a game that's done.
Yes.
Whereas with, like, you know, the newest Super Smash Brothers, this is different. It's like, oh, a different character or some modes. I mean, obviously, when they set in a direct, it's like this game is basically done. It's just we need more time for tournaments and this stage, for instance, or this character.
Well, yeah, but they're not charging for that either, though.
Oh, no, exactly. Well, aside from maybe DLC, whatever, like character, like, hey, if you want this character, you know, go ahead. It just,
yeah.
Whereas Sakurai's giving a reason right now to, you know, when he eventually said, like, he was probably not going to make another Smash Brothers game, this gives him an opportunity, like, you know what? I can develop more characters through this Smash ballot and go on through that. I mean, it's essentially continuing this development. It's just
yeah, it's crazy to think that they're going to continue to add to the characters in this game because it already has this huge lineup.
Do you think? I mean, because the big thing with this Smash was always in HD, or the Wii U version, anyway, it's HD.
Yeah.
Do you think for like the next Smash they do there is a next Smash? I imagine it would be for the next console. They might just do somewhat of a port of the previous game.
I think that would be smart.
Change a few bits.
In fact, I would hope they just if there is a way for them to carry the engine over and like all the characters and stuff they've done, and then just start building from there.
Yeah,
I would much prefer them than having to start from scratch yet again.
Because I can't see what next like huge advancement is going to be. I mean, graphically it looks fine.
We
got a different opinion coming up.
I'm just saying that wouldn't that just borrow the same line of people saying that, oh wow, you know, Nintendo just rehashes everything and just that would fuel fire. I mean, even I understand that consent. It's just thing is, yeah, they take time with this, but it just.
Yeah. I feel they always take time because they have to. They don't really have the choice.
Well,
with like a fighting game, I think that lends itself quite well to just adding features. I mean, if you've got a good, stable foundation, which Smash Bros. Is, just spend that development time to make new modes and new characters. You don't have to touch the engine unless you want to add new bits to it. But unless you've got new ideas to add in the engine, just save your development time for the new modes and the new characters and new stages. And things like that. And then you could have a game developed within, like, a year period where previously that would have taken 3 years or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing I would say about this Mewtwo release. Do you think it's going to break the game every time we get a new character?
In what sense do you mean break the game? Oh, as in this one broke it.
Because of the... when Mewtwo's released and they tried, you know, people took him online and was it Multi-Man Smash? And it was, bar users and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was to this extent, but what I read when I copied it in the notes was anything which used the global point system.
Yeah.
If you use Mewtwo with it, which is a lot of the modes, it would buy from online temporarily. So they released a patch to fix that.
Did you see in that update that they did? They fixed Diddy Kong, or in the sense to the Smash community, they nerfed him.
Yeah.
Finally,
yeah.
And because apparently when it began in online, everybody hated him.
Exactly, yeah. And now there's a big hate about him being like balanced, which is quite amusing.
Yeah, because
I think it's good that they're going in and doing this.
Yeah, because the people who play the Sims like, oh wow, I can't actually, you know, kick. I can't win on these games. Yeah, because he's no longer cheap.
Yeah. It's just that you can't please everyone.
Yeah, it's good to see that they're carrying on balancing things, and it should keep things interesting with the competitive scene as well, through tournaments and so on, years down the road. Hopefully people will still be playing Smash because it'll be a nice, robust, balanced game, opposed to there's a bunch of characters who are much more powerful than the rest.
Mm.
But anyway, continuing on with the DLC theme, we also had the second wave of Mario Kart DLC. Which gave us 8 new courses, I think 4 new characters.
Baby Park, we got Baby Park back.
We did get Baby Park back. And obviously...
the way I say that, like, Baby Park back, it's like, Baby got back. Wow, thank you for basically doing Sir Mix-a-Lot's bit.
Oh, I thought that was deliberate.
No, that was deliberate. I realized, I'm like, oh wow, that's, I just said,
you should have kept quiet. I was quite impressed with your quick wit there. And yeah, in addition to the these paid DLC, we also had a free update which included the 200cc mode. So that's available to everyone, whether they bought the DLC or not.
Which I have not tried out right now, but everybody was told. No, I have not tried out 200cc yet, but everybody who's told me right now is like, oh boy, it's nasty. That's all I got to say.
So yeah, I had a friend over, I think, yesterday, and we were playing some of the new Mario Kart courses. Also has a new track from F-Zero, this time the Big Blue.
Ooh.
And so we wanted to play through all the new courses before we played around with 200cc mode. And so once we play through the two new cups, we turn the 200cc mode on, and we thought it would be a good idea to go through the two F-Zero tracks, which are now in the game. And obviously we both chose the Blue Falcon, and it's not a bad simulation of F-Zero.
I was going
to
say, playing F-Zero.
Yeah, I mean, it's very fast, and the tracks are obviously designed in that way, and when the speed's up there, it kind of gets those right pleasure senses going off in the same way that a proper F-Zero race would. So I'm quite impressed.
It makes you think, like, I need a new F-Zero now, don't you?
It does, yeah.
Would be nice.
And I am wondering whether it's a good or a bad thing we're getting a lot of F-Zero references. Does this mean that they know that people like this franchise and they're going to actually do something with it in the future? Or is this it?
Or just their way of saying, look, we're going to give you F-Zero, it's just going to be a Mario Kart.
Exactly, is this the F-Zero stuff we're getting? Is this their workaround? Like, this stops them from making the full game, because they give us little tidbits of F-Zero here and there.
Yeah, even like a little thing in Nintendo Land, exactly, little F-Zero. Yeah. It's like, they're just teasing us all the way, and they're not going to...
Well, I mean, was there a Star Fox level in Nintendo Land?
No, it wasn't, actually.
Okay, never mind. Okay, but I think I see what your point right now is, like, they're just teasing us so much to the point, like, does Amusement Vision still exist right now? The people who actually did F-Zero GX? I probably doubt they do.
No, I don't think so.
Because I think that was that time when, like, with Sega was, like, when they were, at the time, when they were, like, a premier third-party publisher, a lot of their development companies, like, just shut down left and right.
Yeah. I can confirm Amusement Vision. They went defunct in 2004.
Oh, boy. Oh. Wow.
So.
Yeah. That sucks. Yep. So, yeah, so any Mario Kart comments before we move on?
I'm scared of 200cc, even though I... Well, actually, I do have it finally downloaded on there, but I'm just thinking, like, I'm just going to try out these newer, like, the shorter levels just to see how it is. But, is this going to be available online as well?
I believe it is. I'm not sure. I've not tried it yet myself.
That's just bad. I mean, it's good, but it's bad thinking, like, wow. Like, if you thought online Mario Kart was ruthless, wait till this.
Yeah. The odd thing is... I'm not sure it's something you unlock or not, but I didn't have a 200cc mode for Grand Prix. So
I only
had it if I went into the actual versus option.
Wait. So you cannot do 200cc by yourself in Grand Prix?
Not unless you have to unlock it. The option wasn't there for myself. So I could play it single player, but I just had to do it, per track. And the same for multiplayer. I don't know.
That's odd.
It is odd.
Unless I'm missing something, but...
Yeah, it's a bit weird, but I mean... Hey, it's a new mode. And you can use it on all the tracks. But yeah, it's a bit weird that you can't just go straight into Grand Prix 200cc and select the cup and go with that. But yeah, it is very fast, and... Nintendo was right when, yes, you are actually going to have to use the brake button on this one. Which sounds silly.
It has a purpose.
It's a bit of a shock to the system when you're playing Mario Kart and you actually are having to break your own course.
Braking in Mario Kart? You don't say.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So yeah, just quickly now. So what is your favourite course on this new one? Or do we not have one yet?
You're not going to ask me that question, are you?
Honestly, I haven't downloaded yet, but Big Blue looks awesome.
All right. For me, I mean, I can't remember the name of it, but if when you play it, you know, the one I'm talking about, it's basically, it's kind of Shy Guy themed, and it's an original track, and you kind of go through this, like, Shy Guy village, and it's, like, kind of jungly type area, and there's, like, waterfalls and, like wooden huts and such. Very nicely done. Very great art direction around that, and it's like a roller coaster ride, but it looks very, very pretty as you go around. So yeah, that's very impressive. But yeah, I do like Big Blue too, and especially how it's kind of one of those like single course tracks, so you go from beginning to the end without doing any laps. And I do like those in the new Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll move on now to some Xenoblade Chronicles X news. However, this is essentially quite repeated, although we do have some localization tidbits. Essentially, in Japan, they had a series of, at least so far, three different presentations around Xenoblade Chronicles. I'm not sure if they were called Direct Minis or not. And each one focused on a different aspect of the game. And we've had our first one of those, which, like the first one they released in Japan, was focused around the world of the Xenoblade Chronicles X. And so the bits of news we've learnt from this presentation is, one, that the big ship that the human race kind of evacuate in is called the White Whale.
That's a great name for a ship.
Yeah, I mean, it there kind of works.
It does.
It's evocative of what it is, in a way. Yeah. And the next one is a bit more interesting. We knew that the mechs were called dolls, at least in the Japanese version. And if you thought that name was going to change, then you were correct. And they're now called Skells. Skells.
Like exoskeleton.
Yeah. But just Skells.
I'm going to take issue with that. It's very minor, but in the previous Xeno games, like the Xeno Gears on PlayStation 1 and Xeno Saga on PS2, they were still called dolls.
Yeah.
And now they're changing them. It's like, it's just minor.
And probably a point which is worth mentioning, although they might have just done it because they had these videos prepared for the Japanese version, is that this was Japanese footage still. Whether that's going to potentially tell us when this game's going to be released or not over here, I'm not sure, but you would kind of expect these type of videos to be using the English localization by this point, at least in some form.
Yeah, but apparently not.
Although... there was the 2015 logo, you know, slapped on the end
again.
Of the video in the same fashion.
Again, teasing us.
With this direct, I was expecting basically a more condensed version of what the Japanese audience got. They've gotten three, four directs. One was about the world. One was about the battle system. Another was about dolls, and another one was about story and characters. I figured, okay, we're probably getting a condensed version here, and we may get, a late summer release, and yet we're still 2015. Anybody else? Okay, two things. One, is anybody else slightly worried that this may slip out of 2016? And second, if it doesn't, is this thing getting released, like, say, end of summer?
I still stick by my prediction of a November release for this game.
I reckon, yeah, well, I reckon it'll be second half of the year. I don't know how far beyond it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they push it to a holiday-type slot, because it's a big game and they don't have a Zelda this year.
No. Yeah. It's a big game, but as far as Ramon all this stuff, I mean, based on a JRPG genre, that's going to sell well alone in Japan. And, like, there, I feel like for something like this, in August or September at least, was able, like, before the AAA titles that we're going to be seeing from competitors for it to sell well. You think Monolith Soft wants to do that.
That's true, yeah. It's going to be a tricky balance. I guess it will also depend on what else they have lined up.
We have Star Fox, which is the only known main game that's coming out. And back to, like, as far as the direct, it's like we had Bill Trennan introducing, you know, this. And I was like, oh wow, Bill's just gonna be translating all this previous footage for us. Awesome. It's like 8 minutes of just explaining story and then it goes straight to Treehouse.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, but I was like, I would have loved a longer portion on that and the Treehouse. I'm just like, okay. But I listen to the Treehouse while at work, but other than just listening on it, it just, I didn't take it in as that much.
Probably get the other videos, I don't know, a couple of weeks apiece, I think they were.
I'm worried about how they do that, though, because I want to stop showing me the game at some point, because it's like, I'm going to know where, you know, I'm going to know what everything looks like. I want some sort of surprise.
Yeah, it doesn't always feel like that. I mean, do we think that, like, because obviously the area they were focusing on this is the world.
Yeah.
And was it, like, there's four, was it five continents? Do we think they are going to be the actual entire land masses you explore? Obviously they're really big and there's gonna be lots of areas within them, but do you reckon there's like a plat hole, like a moon or something you go to, or like an extra continent, or there's something like just visually a different type of location that we've not seen?
Are you saying as far as DLC or
no, just in terms of the story, is there like hidden stuff, like a completely type of area
that
they've not shown us?
I mean, looking at that area, though, as far as, like, what they did, and if you look at, like, the, you know, the human colony of New Los Angeles on there, compared to all those continents that we see in the map, it's a fairly large, like, really large map to traverse. I mean, just to walk around. So, I mean, it's just the design of it just doesn't seem that way. I mean, I'm still expecting the next Zelda actually to possibly just blow that out of the water in terms of how large its map is going to be.
Ooh, I don't know. I reckon the Xenoblade world's going to be bigger. Because, I mean, you also have the advantage of flying around it in a skell, as we call it now.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, obviously, is going to be a lot faster than Epona, unless she goes through some radical futuristic changes.
Fire Emblem Cross Shimigami.
Or Mario Kart 8 DLC.
200cc Epona.
Yeah, with the Epona motorbike. In 200cc mode. Zipping around Hyrule Field.
You know what? They will probably add that as DLC. You can have a cosmetic exchange for Epona.
So we finally get our horse armor. Years afterwards.
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah. So yeah, this just about wraps up the Nintendo news, and we'll move on now to our community comments.
Oh well, one thing I wanted to add.
Go on then.
What did anybody just think of like the treehouse portion afterwards?
I didn't actually see the treehouse portion.
You did.
I listened to it. Whatever. It did really kind of enable to think about like the combat system, but I know I love the job that they're doing right there. It's just very good. I just wish there was a supplemental portion of like a larger direct, and then I went into watching that. I would prefer basically a direct to explain the combat system a little bit more, and then I watch that.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I shied away from it, because it's just that point, I don't want to see too much of this game. I want there to be some sort of mysterious and some mystique about it, I suppose.
Yeah. That's what I was asking about with, do we think like they actually have shown off all the continents, or they're actually just alluding to this is the full world when really it's
and they stuff sounded they've not shown us. Pretty sound in the, these are the five continents you will explore.
That's why I asked, and like if they did the same for the original Xenoblade, I feel that would have taken a lot out away from that game. Like if they say, oh, this is what this place is going to look like, and this is what this place is going to look like. The fun of that game was just going from one area to the next and having no idea what you're going to run into.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, even compared to the original game, this does look a lot bigger. So I guess it's just they've got so much to play with in terms of they are actually calling these things continents. And so there's a lot of ground to work with. They can fill those areas with lots of different surprises. Okay, we'll now move across then to the community comments, in which we have two questions. And
two?
Finally! It's been a while, and so two have appeared, just like buses over here.
No, I was going to get that.
The good classic bus reference. I apologise to both of you for referring to you as such. However, the first bus is... Adrian Diaz, who says, love the show. I just heard your podcast about you guys discussing your Wii U VC wishlist games. I have one game from N64 and one DS game I would like to see. For the N64, I would love Mega Man Legends 64. It's the least Capcom Nintendo could do. Since they got me super excited for Mega Man Legends 3 for 3DS, but then cancelled it. For the DS Virtual Console, I would like to see the first new Super Mario Bros. This is not entirely for the main game itself, but for the mini-games that it had in it. I used to play them for hours and hours, trying to beat my high scores. My favourite was the one with the floating character heads, and you had to find a specific character. I don't understand why Nintendo doesn't include stuff like that in the newer releases, for when you want to take a break from the main game.
Well, first thing, Adrian, when it comes to Mega Man Legends, as much as like my opinion on that game when I played it on both PlayStation and on my N64, I just don't think Capcom's reasoning on releasing Mega Man games is like, well, let's just say that ship has sailed finally.
The way that Capcom's handling Mega Man now, Mega Man's kind of in limbo at the moment.
Well, true, but I mean, if we look at the Virtual Console, there's a big Mega Man support for like the
You are right, because I think they're asking for which games they want to release on the Virtual Console.
Yeah.
And this leads basically back to my reason. It's like, Nintendo, just buy the character, please.
Everyone wants that to happen. So yeah, what are the chances of Mega Man Legends 64 coming? I mean, obviously, Nintendo Capcom have a great relationship. There's, about a dozen Mega Man games, if not more, on the Virtual Console currently.
It's quite a few there.
Legends? I guess the N64 bit has only...
Yeah, N64 bit is a big cross bear at the moment.
Well, I didn't like Legends. I never did.
What?
I never did. I never did like Legends. It went totally against what Mega Man was, as far as gameplay aesthetics.
But it was still. I thought it was a fun little experiment. I thought it worked pretty well.
No, I don't mind experimenting. I just felt like it just, as far in terms of experimenting, it just went in a really different direction where it just didn't work out. That was it.
Yeah, I disagree.
Yeah, I agree to disagree.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I haven't even played any of the Legends games. I would love it for it to come on the Virtual Console, because I would buy it straight away and play it. I don't know. I don't know why I've never picked one up. Like, I was distracted by other games.
Yeah, too many games. Not enough time.
So yeah, the second point of this question, though, goes on to New Super Mario Bros. And the minigames. Now, I don't actually remember playing these minigames, but I'm wondering if they're the same ones or similar ones to what was in the Mario 64 remake on the DS. Because that had a whole bunch of different, touchscreen minigames included.
I don't really recall.
And in that sense, I liked when they added those type of minigames in. You could just access them from, like, the main menu. And, yeah, you don't see that as much nowadays.
Nope.
Which is a shame.
They just stick it all in Mario Party and off you go. That's what it is now, you know.
I guess.
If you want to play minigames, that's where you go.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, going back on, like, the Game Boy Advance Mario games, they would also include, like, the classic Mario Bros. And I remember a good example of it, actually, is on Super Mario Bros. Deluxe for the Game Boy Color.
Oh, yeah. That was a good
one. They stuffed that with, like, extras and minigames and other little
It was a very condensed bits. Original NES one, but, yeah, there was quite a lot of extras in there.
Yeah, it's a lot of extra stuff just to mess around with. I do like it when games do that. Anything else anyone wants to add to this question?
No, I wouldn't mind seeing New Super Mario Brothers on there. That was one of the first few DS games I actually bought, so...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, okay. We'll move on to our second question now. It's coming from Twitter. UnitDTH asks, do you think that it's fair for the developer of Splatoon to limit consumers because of his own bad voice chat experiences?
Ooh, this is a...
Give a bit of context from this one. But the news is that the reason why voice chat isn't in the game is, well, at least partly, because of the... Or at least one of the people working on the game's own experiences of voice chat and having a generally bad experience with it and not finding it appealing.
Well, let's just go around, basically, thinking about this. Lewis, sorry. I was like, I'm supposed to do this.
Well, the tricky thing with this, I mean, it's... You often get, like, comments from individuals who work on a project, and it can be hard to know, it like, how true, essentially, that comment is. They're not necessarily trying to be menacing or mean or anything, but they need to put some sort of spin on what they're saying.
Yeah,
because they don't want to tell the blunt, honest truth, which is the reason why we didn't do it was because it wasn't in the project plan because of release schedules and the number of staff or of the features of the engine they're working with or because of the console itself. They don't want to have anything going back to Nintendo or making them look bad. And so sometimes these spurious reasons can appear and spread over the internet. But if we just take this as read, if this is exactly true, you probably know what I'm going to say. Yep, it is a shame it's not in there. I like my options. Why remove it if you can just toggle it on and off, have it off by default?
Exactly.
If you have to tie it into the family settings which are in the console, fine. Because if you don't have them turned on, it won't affect you. Yep, do what you need to do, but yes,
yeah.
I mean, if you're going to ask me whether we have the option or not, yeah, have the option.
The option would be nice. Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, he says basically his own voice chat experiences, and I'm guessing those voice chat experiences are from, like, Xbox Live.
Quite a lot of venom, I will say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just a bit. I mean, if you play, like, Halo Online, there's usually some language chucked around, but I can't see the same thing happening to in a Nintendo game environment. I mean, you bound have the odd person who's gonna throw the odd curse word down, and somebody looks going, "Oh my god, what's that?" But
I think you could be surprised in, like, the heat of the moment.
Oh yeah,
kids playing their games. I can imagine. Yeah, we'll be swearing coming out.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I don't think it'd be as severe as it is on other platforms. But again, yes. I have to agree with you, Lewis. I mean, the idea that it'd be nice if there's like a toggle or switch, or, you know, you press the minus button or whatever, you know, it'd be nice if there's the option just to have it on or off, depending on your preference. Because options are nice. And that's what we want.
Well, here's my thoughts on this. I had seen through a community-wise that some people were upset about this. Personally, it's not a deal breaker for me. I can understand basically from the idea, but also there could be a compromise for this. In terms, when I'd be playing Halo, whatever, think of it this way. Unless you're just a group of friends or online, whatever, do you really need to strategize as far as... Okay, let me take that. Yeah, there are turns when you want to strategize, but I played multiple games of Halo 4, and it really didn't matter in terms of strategizing. It's just you had your own thing going on as far as like how you want to do it. And I don't really use voice chat when it comes to online games. I don't really want to use it just because I know it's like I don't want to deal with that. But is that option very nice to it? Yeah, it probably would. If I had to say as far as an option for Splatoon, it's like you use it with like, oh, your friends or something like that. You know, people that you know that when it comes to it, that you know whatever vile things are going towards it, you expect. But it's, I don't know, I personally, as years goes by, is voice chat a necessity? Yeah, it is, but as far as being a deal breaker, no. It's like, I really don't care about voice chat. It's just, for a game like Splatoon, it's, I just don't see it.
Yeah, the other thing I would say is this seems like somewhat of a trend recently, of like no voice chat being the definitive thing, because in Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, there's no voice chat option available at all.
True. Well, I think that's more of a technical issue, though.
Well, you see,
on the portable.
I don't think that's the case, because Heroes of Ruin had voice chat.
Yes.
And so and that game is like, you know, it's top down dungeon crawler. Yeah, you know, I mean, I can see there's differences between that and Monster Hunter, but I still think it would be possible to do in some capacity. Even if it's just limited just to the gathering room, you can talk then.
Yeah,
fine. But the fact that it's been taken out completely, I wasn't particularly happy with that decision. But again, like Harrison says, it's not a deal breaker, it's just an annoyance.
It is. Dude. You know, and it's like, I mean, people are saying like, oh, wow, Nintendo's behind the times. It's like, for this one, it's like, I don't see it as like it's going to hinder the game's ability. I feel like the only thing that cares for me when I'm playing online is like, is it, you know, is the online functionality, you know, smooth? That's all I care about.
Yeah.
I will agree with you, Harrison. I mean, as much as I would like to have the option to have it on there, it's not dampened my excitement for the game. I'm still really, really looking forward to Splatoon. I think it will play on really good online still. But yeah, if you ask me the question whether I like to have something or not, yeah, I'm always going to say, yeah, I'd rather have the option than take it away from me. But yeah, it does seem to be the trend with Nintendo stuff. Maybe we'll see a change down the road, maybe with the next system. But I feel pretty much any game going forwards on the Wii U or the 3DS, it's going to be sticking to the same policy. It looks like there's been some sort of company stance, like, oh, this is how we feel about voice chat. If we can do it, it's going to be in like the menu screen.
Well, we
don't want that happening in the gameplay itself. Third parties obviously can do whatever they want. But we had this meeting at some point, and that's what we decided.
Yeah.
Wow. I keep forgetting that Splatoon is coming out fairly soon.
Yeah, I've got it pre-ordered with the Splatoon amiibos.
I missed out on those. But I did when certain amiibos finally went back on sale through Walmart and Amazon. I didn't get any of that, but I got Wario.
No.
I thought, it was like, okay, I feel like that might be a more uncommon one. I didn't get, you know, Robin or Martha. I was like, okay, that might be work. So
you guys have got to stop buying plastic figures.
I've not bought any in a little while, actually. Well, unless you count the pre-order of the free Splatoon amiibos.
Well, My basic thing on Amiibo is like, okay, I'm not collecting every one of them, but if I see one out of that phase, I'm like, oh, I want that one. I mean, that is what I want. It's just, hey, that one single one. And I want a NES, but no, because GameStop had to actually, well, Nintendo had an ingenious way of crashing GameStop servers, and I feel like that was an awesome way to take down used games.
So, Colin, are you telling me that you're not going to be buying a Yoshi Willy World yarn amiibo?
He has to.
I'm not.
Are you not?
I'm not buying one. No.
It's just okay. Not for the use of it. It's adorable.
It is.
I gotta ask, why are you guys getting Yoshi's Woolly World way before us?
That's a very good question. Well, we don't have Kirby yet. We still don't have Kirby.
You guys still don't have Kirby's the new Kirby?
Not yet.
Oh wow.
Still not yet.
No. I think you do because I remember Nintendo Europe's Twitter account. They actually have Kirby's face on there from that game. So yeah, you guys have it.
No, we don't. I'm on the store now. The Nintendo store.nintendo.co.uk. There's a pre-order button on the Kirby.
Jeez.
When does it come out, Nintendo? Don't know. Does it? The 8th of May it comes out.
Not too far. No, 2 weeks.
Well, obviously, it has its own amiibo usage we could discuss.
No.
Okay, fair enough.
No. What if it's the Yoshi amiibo, like the Yoshi yarn, Yoshi amiibo? It's like, oh wow, no, here's your knitting sets right now. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that.
That's the shame about the yarn Yoshi amiibo, is it's probably got the worst amiibo usage yet. Well, that double Yoshi thing.
Is that the worst? I thought Toad's Treasure Tracker was pretty bad.
That's alright. I mean, I've not used the Toad one, but I think that's one of the better ones, believe it or not.
As a general rule, though, I do think Amiibo is being underutilized a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Smash is still the best usage for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like these one usage things.
No.
The Splatoon one seems to do the best in that category, where at least it's giving you a series of things to do for each one. Because I think you get 15 missions or something for each.
Yeah.
The whole, you tap the amiibo on there and you get this little thing on this particular game and it won't do anything on any of the other games, so I don't know, seems a bit odd. But yeah, yarn amiibos, Splatoon amiibos, lots of amiibos coming soon.
Hopefully Xenoblade amiibos.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
See, I would get one of those. If they had a scale amiibo.
Oh, dude, it doesn't have to be amiibo. I really hope if it's a Skell figurine for a bundle pre-order.
The perfect usage of it here, and it gets around this, you use the figure on the game it's made for and you get this little feature. What you do, you get the Skell and you put it in other games, like the new Zelda game. And then you can fly around as a Skell across Hyrule, you see? Or transform into the motorbike version of it and just jet, and just bomb around.
You are ruining the canon of Zelda right now.
But that's the power of Amiibo, you see? It breaks canon. It breaks down the walls. It lets the different franchises jump into each other's worlds.
You know how long? Okay, when I pre-ordered that Wario Amiibo and somebody was asking me at my new job, what's Amiibo? I went through about 10-15 minutes of explaining what Amiibo was, and that was very hard than me explaining what my job is.
Yeah. But yeah, they are still very hard to find. The odd thing is, go to the official Nintendo UK store, because that's a thing over here. Why are there so many sold out Amiibos? Why can't they get their hands on them? I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, think of it this way. This is essentially Nintendo's biggest hit since their Wii console. I mean, people just up in droves.
Yeah. Can't even buy a Super Mario Collection Amiibo. What is going wrong with the world?
That's scandalous. That's terrible.
That one should be wonderful. Not that I want that, but still, I'm making a point. Anyway, we've gone a little bit off track here. I think we've fully covered Unit DTH's question. around voice chat in Splatoon. And that concludes our community comments, and obviously that being the second segment, the show itself. Now, as I did allude to at the very beginning of the show, we do have a special announcement to make.
Very special.
It is, although it's very mixed emotional. I'll just come right out and say it. The next show is going to be the last show for myself, Harrison, and Colin on Infendo Radio. We've been all doing it now for quite some time, and we've had... It's, tricky to say, but we've had our ups and downs with the site in terms of things which happened behind the scenes and the management and so on. And we've decided to kind of go our own way and do our own thing. We're still going to stay in the Nintendo community. We're still going to be podcasting. We're going to be doing under a different name, which is going to be Nintendo Voice. And if you're interested in following what we are going to do beyond Infendo, you can follow us at Nintendo Voice, all as one word. Follow us on Twitter, keep an eye on that, and we'll soon have a website called www.nintendovoice.com as well. You can check out.
And, you know, and this is not essentially, it is a new move for us right now because, you know, one thing is like all of us have kind of grown up with the Infendo name as Infendo name itself. It felt like at this time it was time to kind of finally move on and be ourselves. It just, you know, after losing a couple of people who have been on this podcast right now, like I started out here when it was Colin and Lewis were not here. So I've been here for almost more than two, three years right now. And it's amazing to me to actually be part of this community right now. But obviously that, but on that, it just, you know, we need to do something. We need to do something new and branch out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need a fresh change.
A change has happened. Yeah. I was going to say.
And with all that said and done, although us three personally are leaving Infendo, and that essentially does leave the site pretty slim pickings in terms of people where to provide content. If you are listening and you fancy helping out with Infendo, do contact@infendo.com. It won't be us, but the owner of the site will be able to issue out any of those requests and sort out things going forwards in that regards. But we are all going to be around for next episode, episode 350. And we're going to have a very special show.
We're most likely throwing a party, so that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Party for 350.
As always, if you have questions or comments, either in general or about the announcement here, let us know at the usual address, contact@infendo.com. You can also reach out to us on our Twitter handle of @infendo of any questions as well. And so, as always, thank you very much for listening. This has been Infendo Radio.
See you, everybody.
Bye.
Need a bit of cleaning up, but
it's fine. I'll sift through it and
awesome
catch all the podcast gold.